fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
It's Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news along with
Dan Dugan. I'm the other guy. And boy, there's so much going on. We're not even sure what to talk about. But I think elections are a good place to start, right, Robert?
Irish people in elections.
I don't know much about that.
O'Connor.
Vote early, vote often, and never vote sober. But anyway. So, Columbus, or the 12th District, the north end of Franklin County and rural,
six other counties?
Yes. You could call Delaware rural, but it's really not.
And you're Licking, out, where you're from?
Licking, yep, out there near Newark. And then Zanesville, of course, and all these other counties. But it did dominate national news the other night. And
indeed.
It's still, to some, up in the air. Well, it is up in the air officially, right, the election?
Well, with more than 8,400 votes still out,
yes.
5,000 early votes, absentee votes, mm-hmm. so to speak, or
right.
vote by mail.
Of, yeah.
Now we call them vote by mail.
Right.
And another 3,400 or so provisionals mm-hmm. waiting to be verified.
There you go. So it's too close to call, although Balderdash is calling it a victory. But,
true enough.
But others.
A little over 1,500 votes now. Was 1,700, and they found three precincts in Worthington
uh-huh.
that hadn't been counted.
Wow.
And O'Connor picked up.
Of all podunk places.
And O'Connor picked up 190 votes
wow.
there.
Okay.
Showing one of the things right there. There's a battle going on, and the listeners need to think about this. First of all, Pat Tiberi, the congressman who resigned setting up this special election that we
yeah.
had on Tuesday, won that district by 37% of the vote.
Right, right, right.
Now, if we were to distill it and say, what if the Democrats actually ran somebody of any note instead of a sacrificial lamb
mm-hmm.
and actually spent some money, it's likely that the Republicans would normally win that district, the 12th district here in Central Ohio, by about 16% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
If you analyze who's a registered Dem, a Republican,
right.
And voting patterns.
Right, voting patterns,
and
because
Trump
there's so
himself,
many independents
yeah,
these days.
Trump himself won by 11, 12%
correct, yeah.
Of the votes. So Trump actually does far worse than does mainstream Republicans
mm-hmm.
in the John Kasich mode. So that's one thing to keep in mind, is that a lot of these suburban Republicans left Trump in droves. But at the same time, in the rural area, out where you were born and reared.
I was born in West Virginia. That's a whole other story.
God.
But
I knew the West Virginians were voting in the election.
New Martinsville,
my
mother
bust
called
in.
Me a hoopy baby. But anyway, but I growed up in Newark, Ohio, and
in the rural
that's
parts,
the big city
I don't know if
there.
It surprises you.
I know,
but
the
in
rural
Richland, the rural there. Parts,
yes,
not the city itself, which is sort of mixed,
right?
But the rural areas,
Utica
and Morrill and Richland and those counties tended to vote more Trumpian than the rest of the Republicans. They
sure.
like Trump.
Yes.
They like what he stands for. Even
what
when he flip flops.
He stands for, yes.
But yeah,
exactly.
it doesn't, you know, he's, you know, got the little
what
mat
been fooled
out there,
into
the yoga
believing.
Mat, whatever way he twists.
Right.
They, you know, will kiss his butt.
And more importantly, a lot of them just want to tick off them that are liberals. Which
that's right.
That's us weirdos in the big cities, I guess. And you know, there's always another neighbor down the road who might, I don't know, do something subversive like teach school or something that they don't like either. But anyway.
Well, the eyes of the nation were upon
rednecks are everywhere.
The again, the 12th District, where a relative newcomer, Danny O'Connor. Danny O'Connor, who again came under fire from his own party by taking a vacation to Greece after the spring primary.
Uh-huh.
So he was off on vacation, and I don't see anything wrong with it as a Greek-American.
Yes, there you go. As a proud Greek-American, Dr. Fitrakis, doesn't have a problem with O'Connor going to Greece. What's the problem with them going there again? I don't remember.
Well, some of the campaign people, he wasn't, you know, spending every second. You know, he couldn't, in those week or two, whatever his vacation was, mm-hmm. he could have been knocking on doors. And
that's true. Yeah,
and getting old women,
Richland County and Ross,
in his commercials. He had a lot of elderly women and men, particularly women. Both of them ran the Boulder Center, as we know him around here, Boulder Dash.
Yes,
and Danny O'Connor both had their mothers in their commercials. Both again dependent on Medicare.
Yeah, and right. To make sure that. We knew that they were both for a socialist program.
They were down with the people.
Right. Mm-hmm. But, of course, they're not going to call it a socialist program. You know, there was one thing that came up, a footage that I saw, actually, on Stephen Colbert, where Balderdash runs away from a camera and won't discuss.
He was endorsed by John Kasich, and in 1992 at the Athletic Club, where Kasich was speaking but refused to debate me on the NAFTA question, North American Free Trade Agreement.
Right.
I went in there when he was coming out to demand he debate me, and he stood there and said...
You're talking about Kasich now?
John Kasich.
Okay.
A young John Kasich in 1992 when I was the Democratic candidate in the 12th District against Mr. Kasich, and he stood there... all put out, and then he turned around and ran.
Yeah.
And again, North American Free Trade Agreement.
So this is a tactic the Republicans are used to.
They're good. When in doubt, turn and run.
Right.
Particularly if it involves a substantive
issue. The truth is there, yes.
Well, if there's a, you know,
any
as opposed
danger,
to
truth
hugging
be.
A baby or, you know, putting your old mother in a wheelchair for a commercial. Mm-hmm. Yeah, both parties are good at that, but turn and run. I've seen Kasich do that as a congressman.
The old turn and run, yeah. Good old mainstream Kasich.
And again, not that we would want to skirt any issues, but Joe Manchin,
Green
Party candidate.
A lot of people blaming the Greens for this, but I personally blame women and gays who vote Republican, but that's my own personal beefs. But
they blame
your Green Party, Bob. So
and
Manichek. Right?
For full disclosure, I voted for Dennis Kucinich in the primary.
Okay,
and as much as I would love to be a Green Party person, legally you can't
even though you helped start the party. Right.
Yes, I did.
And
there's good reason. I mean, my argument.
No, you had a good reason.
Yeah, here's why I started it. Because I believe the Democratic Party were ass kissers to George W. Bush, who had one of the lowest IQs of any president in history.
Right.
And Dick Cheney,
Warren Harding maybe,
and these neocons led him into an illegal war, which his dad tried to stop him.
Right.
In Iraq. And when the I heard all of those Democrats, you know, saying. Well, speaking out, maybe the war's not good, but then voting for it, including Hillary Clinton and John Kerry, I said I'm not going to be in charge of a party that essentially allows a war criminal to wage an unjust war and kill hundreds of thousands of people. So that was the motivation behind starting the party. That and another thing that's been on
Facebook. But how
is
the Green Party, what these people are saying is the Green Party is guilty of stealing votes that could have defeated.
Well, we don't have democracy.
Balderdash.
I mean, at the crux.
Playing devils.
No, I know that.
Yes.
And I appreciate
Newark
it.
Newark advocate.
Yeah. So no, in this case, it's
that's
like
the paper.
First of all, let us remind these people that there's a democracy, and
yes.
In a democracy, people have a choice.
You should have choices, yes.
And that the Democratic Party does not own all green voters as chattel. Slavery has been abolished in the U.S. And that the people that voted for Joe Manchin are just as disgusted with the Democrats, or as we know them, the Republican lights, as they are with the Republicans.
Sure.
So they're not going to vote for an imperialist, pro-war party that essentially serves corporate capitalism.
And they have that right.
Yeah. Here's the reality. In Central Ohio, the Democratic Party machine here is far worse at giving tax breaks to the Les Wexners and Ron Pizzutis of the world than the Republicans ever were. Now, granted, as a whole, I'd be the first to admit, the Democrats are more socially liberal.
Absolutely.
But on economic issues, you know, depending on
not so much,
on where you are, I mean, they're better on entitlement programs for the poor. But when it comes on to serving the interest of imperialist America, military-industrial complex, the people, the hardcore, a little over 1,000 voters that voted for Manchin, under no situation are they going to vote for two of the major, either of the major parties.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely. Yeah, who's to say they would have voted at all if they didn't have an option to vote for Joe? So that's one thing. The other is that what kills me is how people will be on Facebook screaming about, you know, those dirty, rotten greens. And I'm thinking, you know, or I ask one of my local fingertip activist friends, well, were you out there actually turning out the vote for your team?
Yeah, no. Here's what I suggest they do.
Only through typing now, and being on Facebook.
Right. Now let me help them because I'm a nice guy. I'm a political scientist.
Okay.
I have a PhD in it. It's public record who the list of greens are.
Right.
You can go to the Board of Election and get the list.
Mm-hmm.
Why not get off your butt and writing on Facebook and have gone to the houses and say, please,
yeah, please.
The Republicans, even though it looks like O'Connor's veering right of center and denouncing Nancy Pelosi and the liberal wing of the party, it's all just a fake act to get him elected. Please come and vote for our fake candidate.
Right.
Running as a Kasich supporter. I mean, they could have went out and pled their case, right?
Yeah.
Denny White, the former chair of the Franklin County Democratic Party and the Ohio Democratic Party, I saw him on Facebook saying, in infinite wisdom, he says, well, the Green Party could be a wing of the Democratic Party. I was in the Democratic Party. Denny White was a Republican.
Right.
He crossed over in 1992. He was a Republican businessman hooked up with the Teamsters who ran a double-breasted shop, partly union with the Teamsters, partly non-union.
Right.
He comes into the party.
Har.
Well, here's one of the first things he does. He purges the progressive activists in the party, including myself.
Mm.
He throws me off the executive committee.
And now he wants you under his wing.
Yeah, now they
see,
want
he
us
has
back.
The right to throw you away and pull you back under his
That's
wing.
That's right.
I don't know why you don't understand
this, Bob. So I was thinking,
this,
I can't believe it. You know, this
well,
is
your
the
puppet
guy
strings broke.
That purged the socialist, democratic socialist wing of the Franklin County Democrats.
Well, there you go.
And then when I go off and help found the Green Party, then he's like, well, why can't they come in? You threw us out. Ryan allowed us. The former chair, Fran Ryan, a good Irish woman, had a big tent.
Right.
Everyone was invited in, including the left.
Yeah.
Denny White was a DLC, a Democratic Leadership Council.
Right
wing, pro-corporate Dem who threw the progressive wing and the environmental
the
wing
anyway.
Out of the party
and
under the bus.
Well, we just want to remind you, you are listening to The Other Side of the News on WGRN, the Green Renaissance, 94.1 on your radio dial. So the false discussion of why this election was swayed But it seemed to me that when you and I were speaking the other morning, you had some questions about the votes, the later votes perhaps, in some of those more rural areas. And are you sensing electronic tampering, Bob, since you're kind of the expert?
We see irregularities.
Yeah.
You're watching, and there's never a good explanation for this, when you watch the vote results, you can take a look, and sometimes precincts will come in, five precincts, and the votes won't change. Or sometimes votes will come in, but there'll be no updated precinct numbers.
Right.
So you don't know whether it's some weird lag in the system, some sort of computer
glitch. It's human error,
glitch.
Right?
Oh, well, they say it's human error, but it really can't
be. How could
be.
It be? Right.
It can't be because humans aren't entering the data. All of this, particularly in the 12th District, was done on DREs, direct recording electronics. That is, you're it's what we call push and pray voting. You're pushing a machine, and you're counting on that to record the vote, and then it comes out either on the equivalent of a thumb drive, a stick, or what they call a personal election device, a PED, personal election device, which they take this cartridge out and stick it in a central tabulator at the precinct level.
Pretty sexy.
And then they take it and stick it in at the the county central tabulator, and then they pull a stick out and take that thumb drive.
Right.
Which I guess it does have sexual connotations. And they air gap it, whatever that means.
Air
gap, and they send it over to a computer to transmit it to the Secretary of State's office, where every 2.5 to 3 minutes, his site is updating. But all of it, no one's sitting around typing it in, going like that. All of it is being transferred electronically. By the equivalent of thumb drives or cartridges or these essentially a ballot box off a machine, a PED, a personal election device for that specific machine. So the reality is...
So what could go wrong with that?
Other than everything, there's at least 12 major things that could go wrong. Beginning on who programmed the machines? Well, in many cases, they're programmed by private partisan companies like ES&S, and prior to that, a lot of these machines that were used were Diebold, which went out of business worldwide. No, they did go out of business. Their election machines, they were driven out of the business for a worldwide pattern of fraud.
I thought they changed their name as well.
Well, they did change it to Premier, but they weren't very Premier.
Okay.
And their future was doomed.
And are some of the same people, though, involved with the...
Oh, sure. A lot of the people that kind of the circulation of their
they're
technicians. They're,
they know
elite.
How to make these machines work.
Yes.
Wink,
they,
wink.
They do. It's
nudge, nudge, proper.
And they're not using open source software, which is what Woolsey recommended, open source.
Okay.
I mean,
you want to refresh us about Woolsey? Because I know you and I had been
speaking. The August 2017 editorial, the former CIA director came out strongly, said, look, there should be paper in the machine. There should be open source software, and we shouldn't be using these DREs, these, you know, touchscreen computers where you can't verify. It's a black box. You don't know. You push. You don't know how it's being recorded in the machine. You can't see it.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, our elections...
And the answer is the paper trail.
Sure.
Which some states are using, right?
Yeah, and a lot of the paper trail, you know, there's thermo paper. It's virtually impossible to count, which actually need some of the digital scanning machines actually have a ballot that you fill out. So if push comes to shove in a close race... Say a guy named Balderdash is running against O'Connor, you can actually count the paper.
Right.
And the new digital scanners, ES&S has a series of these. They also have an audit function and ballot imaging. So it actually takes a picture of every ballot, and you can see exactly.
There you go.
It comes out of kind of German banking technology. Mm-hmm. If you really want to know how an election went, you use these digital scanners.
Absolutely.
You turn on your auditing function. You take a picture and keep them digitally of every ballot cast, and you have the paper to compare it to. Now, but what happened in Ohio? All seven counties were using DREs. They weren't using the digital scanners with papers and audit systems.
Right.
And ballot imaging.
Which leaves this election, as long as, and as well as many other elections, open to questions
about you don't
the
really
veracity
know.
Of the
yeah,
of the result.
It's not really democratic. It fails the first test of transparency.
And this prompted you
can't
to
verify.
And this prompted you to write an open letter to
John Husted.
Who
I've sued on occasion.
Good old John.
Who's running for lieutenant governor.
Yes, with that short guy. What's his name? The Whiner. DeWine.
Mike DeWine.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, you wrote a letter.
With Harvey Wasserman.
With your partner Harvey. Yep.
Pointing out all these problems. I mean, really, the whole nation and probably the whole world is watching what happens in the 12th District. And essentially, you cast.
Seems like it.
Cast
and
votes
what's going to happen again in November?
I mean, machines.
Yeah.
Push and pray machines. Machines with no real paper trails.
Right, right. So, but the letter addressed to Husted, I just wanted to, you know, draw a little bit of attention to that. It's.
And you can find that on freepress.org.
There you go. And just in general, it's just to remind Mr. Husted that we're not there yet, even though he allowed and was part of allowing the rules to be slightly liberalized for
well,
registering.
Well, he fought
and
for
voting.
The right. There's about a dozen or so counties that have these digital scanners with security features with audit functions and ballot imaging, and he fought for their right to turn those off.
Right.
So,
right.
So say you buy a large mansion with a state-of-the-art security system.
Mm-hmm.
Would you turn it off? Or is the actual function of the security system to turn it on?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one. That's why he has to run for the lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
He can't figure out the big decisions. Do I turn the security system off or on?
By the way, when I go by the building downtown that has the big sign on it, apparently it's their headquarters for DeWine and Husted.
Yes.
But what's with the dark, the black, ominous look to that? I'm just saying, if you take a look at that building, it might say something.
It's the Death Star.
It seems to
be. It's the Death Star coming for Ohio.
Sure, and it's got a real Shack Fried kind of almost, hand-done, I think, sign out front it looked like.
And I blame that on Joe Manchick.
Yeah, it's probably the Greens that did that. They probably painted that building black when no one was looking and put that ridiculous sign up there. Anyway, we've still got some more time in this wonderful show on WGRN, and I wanted to get the free press out and remind people of some of the events that they may wish to attend. First of all, the Free Press Annual Awards event has been set for Columbus Day, Monday, October 8th at 6 o'clock at Woodlands Tavern, 1200 West 3rd
and
Avenue.
Joe Manchick will be
Joe might be there.
Well, come out and yell at him.
And the woman who is your law partner that is running for governor, Connie Goodall Newton,
will probably be there.
So you could yell at her or just come down and tell her you appreciate what the Greens are attempting to do to keep democracy in this country. But in the meantime, I wanted to go over a few of these events, and I'm sure you guys will be at some of these.
Will Boulder Dash be at any of them?
I don't think so. I doubt he'll be at the Columbus Stand Up for Choice. No More Freaking Bands. Ace of Cups, Tuesday, August 21st. I doubt very much he'll make the Indian Festival on the 25th.
Involved
the
in the laydown for choice.
Yes. There's a lot of events coming up that the people of our ilk would want to go to, like Central Ohioans for Peace on Monday, August 13th at the Columbus Mennonite Church on Oakland Park Avenue.
Will 35. Joe Manchick be there?
That he might be. I can't say for sure. So we'll have to check with his social planner.
I hope
there's also a Franklin County Green Party meeting now.
He has been seen there.
I think he'll be there.
We may have a whole group of actors and actresses with their entourage.
Oh yeah, sure, absolutely. On Tuesday, August 14th at 6 p.m., that is at the Northwood High Building, 2231 North High Street. And in addition, there's just so much to do this month. I just wanted to get some of these out. Midwest Career Comedy Festival, several locations in Columbus, 22nd to the 26th. The second annual Columbus Black International Film Festival at the Wexner Center for the Arts, Thursday the 23rd to Saturday the 25th. The third annual Columbus Veg Fest on the 25th at the Whetstone Community Center at 10 a.m. And Hot Times. Don't forget Hot Times.
Hot Times, my favorite out of much more than the Commie Fest you're associated with, Mr. Dugan.
I'm associated with? Yeah.
In the Vegas.
Ask them what my association
at this point in time is with the community.
The
Hanging Man is associated with
I might
with
get
the
to MC. I did get to play this year, and my son played with me, and that was cool. But, yeah, I like Hot Times, too. I don't know. It's not ComFest, though. But
well,
it's all right
I think
by
it's
me.
It's funkier. It's more diverse.
And thanks to ComFest, Hot Times is able to operate.
That's true.
So there you go. They kind of work together. So we'll probably see a lot of the same people at both. Your volunteers can go out and get their tokens from at that.
That's true.
And also, very important, the Rise for Climate, Jobs, and Justice Festival in March, Saturday, September 8th, 11 a.m., 2 p.m. You want to talk to Mark Stansbury about that. That will be at, did I say General Park? So there you go on that Saturday. And then that is going to be part of the national mobilization for the Global Climate Action Summit in San Francisco, September 12th through 14th.
And for the record, Joe Manchin did not start the fires in California. He's a green. He's opposed to them.
Oh, wait a second. Oh, the fires. Wow, I didn't know there was a connection there. Thanks for starting that rumor. And while we have a little more time, can we talk about Mr. Manafort or Mr. Collins, a couple of Republican operatives who are facing legal problems? Right along hand in hand with the commander in chief.
Manafort was in
Cheeto.
There helping to steal elections in the Ukraine, grooming the pro-Russian.
And getting paid.
Big money.
Yeah, by both sides, it
yeah,
seems.
Yeah, and then Gates, his guy,
right.
You know, was,
stole
was
money
just,
from him.
You know, $30 million in the offshore account. You're gonna take $100,000 here and there, aren't you, Mr.
Yeah,
Dugan?
Yeah, go get a nice suit.
I mean, I can't even blame him.
A bottle of champagne, have a dinner, yeah.
I mean, when you got $30 million offshore illegally,
right.
Is it really wrong to, right. You know, just get a taste? Or as you used to say, wet your beak?
Yeah, I said that all the time, wet your beak. That's what us Irish say. Ah, come on in, Mr. Petraeus, and wet your beak with us. No, yeah, the Manafort case, though, I swear I thought I heard that there would probably be no witnesses for the defense because – they feel like Gates did enough damage as a witness for the prosecution. But the whole thing is unbelievable. This
yeah,
is
but
some
the
kind
paper
of
trail shows a clear pattern of massive and illegal activity.
Right.
So
yeah.
Stay tuned. We're about to wrap up here.
Yes, we are.
And
yeah.
Here's the question.
Yes,
did
the
Manafort
big question.
Work with Joe Manchin?
Well, their names start with man.
Yeah, they
man.
Yeah.
And we're the other side of the news on WGRN, the Green Renaissance, 94.1. Thank you very much.
Peace. Thanks for listening to the other side of the news. This is Bob Petraeus.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN, 94.1, LPFM, the Green Renaissance.